Welcome. It's New Year's Day 2019 as I record this. Welcome to the Should Be Known podcast. I'm Clayton Pixon, and today I want to give you kind of a taste of the overall landscape of psychology today, being the first day of 2019. I've mentioned before how the whole field of psychology is, in my mind, kind of really swimming in a lot of uncertainty and non-coordination and different opinions and just a little bit in the dark, I feel like, and could use some real help in coordinating it and really understanding what's behind everything. We have lists of symptoms and what they associate with, and we've generated all these lists of different mental disorders, but we don't have anything really tying them together, to me, that I've seen. And kind of what I'm proposing through this podcast is at least one way to understand these mental disorders and what we do in a way that will really describes them at their root. Not just describes a set of symptoms and puts a name on it and then kind of tries to categorize things and separate them apart and group things together in ways that maybe make sense at the time. And it's always changing the categories we make. A popular way of categorizing them is the DSM. The current one is the DSM-5, and the World Health Organization has the IC-something. Doesn't really matter for my purposes here, but it's a good thing to know. I'm not saying that, but what matters is that the world at large, and you know, the United States, where I'm from, has these different ways of categorizing mental disorders, and they're different, and they change, and they don't always agree, and they receive praise for having created the categories that can be useful. But also criticism, because National Institute of Mental Health argues that the DSM-5 represents an unscientific and subjective system. It really is unscientific and subjective. I think everybody wishes it were more scientific and everything. There are ongoing questions concerning the validity and reliability of the diagnostic categories. So, you know, why did you categorize it that way? That's, you know, is that based on anything, or you just kind of pull that out of your head? The reliance on superficial symptoms, I suppose by that they mean symptoms that may not be relevant to the actual problem. The use of artificial dividing lines between categories and from normality. So again, you know, well, what are you going to call normal? What's a disorder, possible cultural bias, and medicalization of human distress. Medicalization of human distress. Anyway, so it's not perfect is all I'm saying. And, you know, I believe lots of people are doing the best they can and working with what they have. However, I have a kind of a high goal for this little branch of intellectual study on self-deception, which is that it will help us all understand mental conditions and mental illnesses and, man, primarily depression and anxiety, but also the other big ones. Let's read some of the major disorders. So here's WebMD. I'm using as my text the internet today, but I think that's a good thing for what I'm doing, because I want to get the current, you know, whatever's kind of out there available to everybody. The DSM book costs if you get the DSM app, I was looking at that the other day. I didn't look at the app, just looked into buying it on the app store. It costs $70, and all the reviews are kind of low, just for the pure fact that it's very incomplete. It doesn't cover what the book covers, and the book is $170 or so. So I don't have my hands on one of those at the present. I'd like to, but anyway, this will suffice for today. So here's some of the common disorders that you'll hear about, read about. Anxiety disorders, mood disorders, including depression, bipolar, cyclothymic disorder, psychotic disorders, that includes schizophrenia. And my webpage is moving because of ads. Psychotic disorders, eating disorders. That includes both anorexia, not eating enough, and I guess eating too much, right? Impulse control and addiction disorders. So alcohol and drugs are kind of in here, addiction to those. Okay, personality disorders, including antisocial personality disorder, obsessive compulsive personality disorder, paranoid personality disorder. Obsessive compulsive disorder, that's OCD. Post-traumatic stress disorder, and that's the end of the page. And there are other lists like that. I want to just touch on the one more list. So this one does have ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, anxiety disorders, autism is on this list, bipolar disorder, which is basically just like depression and mania kind of going back and forth, right? Borderline personality disorder, depression, dissociative disorders, early psychosis and psychosis, eating disorders, obsessive compulsive disorders, post-traumatic stress disorder, schizoaffective disorder. That's like related to schizophrenia, obviously, and schizophrenia. So those aren't all of them, of course, but those are some of them. And they're just kind of spread out on the table like a spilled bag of marbles. But let me read you something interesting that I came across on webmd.com. And I don't want to blame them for, you know, single them out or anything, because lots of people say this, and it's true. And let me read it. No one knows. It's talking about depression. No one knows exactly what causes it. Does that seem remarkable to you? It seems remarkable to me. Depression, which has been called the plague of our age, you know, plague of our time and everything. No one knows. God knows. I don't know. It just sounds to me a little like saying there's no, you know, angels don't visit the earth anymore, and God doesn't speak to his children anymore, and that's something that can be known, I feel like, can be discovered. And I feel like, I know a lot of people are probably working on that and making great strides in some areas, perhaps with how the brain works and chemicals. A lot of work's been done there. And so I don't know the complete history of depression as it came into the public mind and the minds of people in our time, it has to have existed forever. Although it may be more common now, it seems, in my mind, it is. But that's because of the view I have of what causes depression. So I didn't mention, but this is the first time that I am recording myself on camera during my podcast. So this is not only a podcast, but will become a video, you know. I'll make a YouTube channel for this stuff or something. So this is what I look like, and this is my humble studio setup. And yeah. All right, so given all this kind of information and stuff about depression, well, I'm not really done with it, because I want to tell you about the causes of depression as seen by the current community or whatever. The National Institute of Mental Health says depression is a real medical condition. So it calls it a medical condition, right? Not a psychological condition, which is interesting. And I don't know if they're trying to be like relieve responsibility from the poor person who has depression. And I would concur that the person who has depression, you can't blame them or say you just can snap out of it or something like that. That's, to me, that's ignorant. Although the person has more power over it than some people want to say, who just want to call it a plain old medical condition and say that it's nothing but chemicals and brain states and things that you can't control. Even, you know, if it's things that happen to you, we got to remember, if you're asking me, that it's something that you do have control over. And the things that I have been talking about in this podcast are going to help us see how. So let's just mention that within depression, there are several kind of subcategories or variants of it in the understanding of, you know, the world or whatever. So persistent depressive disorder, postpartum depression, persistent depressive disorder, also called dysthymia, is like a lighter version, less severe symptoms from the regular depression. Okay, postpartum depression, so that means after you have a woman has a baby. Psychotic depression has severe depression plus some forms of psychosis, such as having disturbing false fixed beliefs, delusions, blah, blah, blah. Seasonal affective disorder, that's when you get depressed kind of in the winter time or whatever, when it's cold and darker out. Bipolar disorder, as we mentioned, where you're kind of depressed and on the one hand and then manic on the other, getting a great mood on the other side. So those are the different variants of depression, signs and symptoms. Let's read this. Okay, so if you have depression, we're talking about depression now, you may have persistent, sad, anxious, or empty mood. Okay, that empty is very revealing to me. An empty mood. Why would you have an empty, empty mood? Didn't we talk about that? When you erase the self, when you disrespect yourself, when you don't stand up for yourself, when you don't do what you feel like you need to do or say what you need to say, you are disrespecting yourself, and you're basically taking on this worldview of, oh, I am not worth anything, and nobody wants to hear what I have to say, or nobody cares how I feel. Or even I don't care how I feel. It's not appropriate. I shouldn't have those feelings. So I'm not going to express those. I don't have those. What are you talking about? I'm not offended, or I'm not sad, or What am I going to, you know, whatever it is. And that's an unhealthy attitude. I believe strongly that everybody's got to be able to feel how they feel. And when I say what you need to say, you do need to say what you need to say. And sometimes that involves getting angry. And people don't want to admit that they're angry. Some people feel anger is a bad thing. I know people who just refuse to get angry. And they are in a heap of mental trouble. That's a natural human thing to feel anger. The thing is to express it appropriately or whatever. And when you open your mouth and talk to somebody, talk to a person who may have offended you or something like that, it may scare you to death to say those things that you feel like you need to say because you don't want to get angry and you don't want to cause conflict. You don't like conflict. I don't like conflict. But sometimes you got to do tough things. And you got to swallow your pride a little bit if you think that it's not right for you to be angry. And that's one of the things that holds us up, perhaps most of all. Okay. Persistent, sad, anxious, or empty mood. You feel empty. It says in here, one of these pages, that some people don't even feel sad when they're depressed. I don't need these glasses that much. Some people don't even feel sad when they're depressed. They just feel empty. Why would that be if you don't feel sad? You feel yucky. Everybody feels yucky. And there's something to that, I believe, too. I don't know if it's just a natural consequence of erasing yourself and yourself trying to pop out and express itself and makes you feel yucky, and it's telling you, it's like physical pain. It's like, hey, I'm under here. I'm in here. Let me out. Don't do this to me. I'm going to make you sick. I'm going to make you get aches and pains where no doctor's going to be able to figure out why, because it's not because of any medical thing. It's because you're depressed. Why are you depressed? Because you're suppressing me, yourself. This is my theory, right? Okay, so feelings of hopelessness or pessimism. Yeah. If you are suppressing yourself, you're telling yourself you're not worth it. It's contrary to feelings of hope, of encouragement. And it's compatible with feelings of discouragement. And discouragement, did we say this before? It's never right. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay, irritability. You are, it's one of the ways that yourself is coming out. You're mad about something inside. You really are, and you should be. Something's not right. Doesn't mean you take it out on others or whatever, but you might take it out on others. But the correct, better thing to do is to find what you're really mad at and take action aimed at that. But irritability is going to come out because you're mad inside. You've got something inside that's eating away at you. Okay, feelings of guilt, worthlessness, and helplessness. Guilt is a way of telling yourself that you're worthless and wrong, you know. It's like a justification for telling yourself you're worthless because you're guilty of something when you're really not. There is something such thing as true guilt. We know that, but it's not. It's different. There's the satanic copy of everything good, right? Guilt for true sin is wholesome and given to us like physical pain. It's spiritual pain that'll help us take action and resolve those things with God. But feelings of guilt described here are you know, I did something wrong and I'm in the wrong, and I either that's the cause of my woes, or anyway, it goes along with these other things. Worthlessness, we already talked about that. Helplessness, I can't do anything. That's also, you've got to tell yourself you're helpless, because otherwise you'd admit to the truth, which is that you are not helpless. You can say what you need to say, or express your feelings however you need to. It doesn't necessarily have to be to the person. It can be on paper to begin with. It's a great way to do it. Just yelling at somebody in the car, use some cuss words that you might not use in public. I don't know if you're supposed to do that, but I may have done something like that before. Okay, so moving on. Okay, loss of interest or pleasure in hobbies and activities. This is my list of symptoms of depression, right? So loss of interest or pleasure in hobbies and activities. I'm not exactly sure how that ties in, but I know it does through the self-deception that's going on. If you think you know, write in, please. I hope you'll write in and contribute your thoughts and everything. And if you think I'm totally off the rails and, you know, depression really is medical purely, you're welcome to say that. I'm telling you, it's not, though. But if you have a good argument for something or other, or some other insight that you think is relevant to this discussion, by all means. I don't think anybody's saying that it's all medical still. Well, no, there probably are people who still are. But they're fighting an uphill battle now, because I think people are moving to the point where they know that it's not just plain old brain chemicals. Okay, let's blow through this list and be done with this part. Loss of interest, pleasure in hobbies and activities, decreased energy or fatigue, moving or talking more slowly, feeling restless or having trouble sitting still, difficulty concentrating, remembering or making decisions, difficulty sleeping, early morning awakening or oversleeping, appetite and or weight changes, thoughts of death or suicide attempts, aches or pains. Isn't that interesting? Aches or pains, headaches, cramps, or digestive problems without a clear physical cause and or that do not ease even with treatment. What does that tell you? To have that as a common symptom that's associated with depression. To me, that tells me two things. The mind and the body are closely related, first of all, and has the power to make you have aches and pains and other problems that are real, but that you don't know what the cause of them is. Some people would argue that they're not real, but I know of people, and you know, with my own experience, I'd say no, there are some actual real physical problems, even if they're because of depression, but that doesn't make them not real. So I know somebody who would say, well, since you're, like I keep saying, erasing the soul, those things are popping out, the sicknesses and everything. It's crying to the universe and saying, hey, look at me. Don't forget me. Don't ignore me. You can't do that. I will pop out in other ways, the self, if you want to say. I know this is not a scientific concept, really. But I think you get what I'm saying. So this is my own personal theory of you know, depression. And let me emphasize that it does not mean that medication could be the thing for you and could be a godsend for you, and that you need to seek that help, or that therapy may not be a godsend for you. So it has nothing to do to say that those, you know, aren't real. And all the other stressors, things that cause, so those are signs and symptoms. Risk factors, personal or family history of depression, major life changes, trauma, stress, physical illnesses, medications. That's not the best list. There's got to be a better one somewhere. Well, I'm not finding the greatest list I want. There's too much that I don't want to read all this stuff right now. Plus, I'm running out of time. I'm way out of time. Way over. So, but hopefully you can see how understanding this kind of self-deception stuff can help you understand depression, for example, which we've kind of focused on today. And we'll get into, you know, anxiety, schizophrenia, you know, OCD, all the other things that we read about. And we'll just look at them and we'll say, okay, how could we understand this in these terms? Is there a way to apply these principles that we know of self-deception and understand these things in a little more comprehensive way? I think there is. And I think that's what we need right now. So, hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Hope you've stayed with me a little bit, and hopefully the background noise isn't getting too terribly bad. It's good to be with you on this New Year's Day, 2019. I'd like to sing you a song. This is the Should Be Known podcast. I'm Clayton Pixton, and we'll talk to you next time. Shall all acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Shall all acquaintance be forgot and auld lang syne? And auld lang syne, my dear, and auld lang syne, we'll drink a drop of kindness yet for auld lang. See you later, guys.